in a world that has more than enough information and noise? Is it even possible to truly anchor ourselves and have peace in a scattered world? Hi, this is Pamela and Mary, and we are a mother-daughter team who span two generations but share one message. We will delve into what it looks like to be fully integrated, body, soul, and spirit, and will bring encouragement and hope all along the way. We get it. Life is hard, and let's be real. Hard doesn't even begin to describe it on some days. But we want you to know that you're not alone. And not only that, we are here to come alongside you and cheer you on as you walk out your individual storyline. So join us as we journey together and laugh, cry, and everything in between. Welcome to the More Than Enough Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the More Than Enough Podcast. Hey Mama Bear, how's it going?
Good morning. Pretty good. It's a new day.
It's a new day. Maybe that should be our new tagline. It's a new day.
Yes, that should be it for sure.
Every day is a new day. Thank you, Jesus, for that.
Yes, amen.
We are excited today to dive in and talk all about emotions.
Yeah, they're real, they're big, and sometimes they're all over the board.
All over the board, yes. The roller coaster of, in the midst of 5 minutes in our house, I always say we do not lack feeling and emotion in our house. It's in the course of a 1 hour time span, we can feel every range of emotion to the nth degree.
It's in the course of our veins too, let's be honest.
Yes.
I'm not talking about from our creator. I'm talking about genetically. Our families, yes. I think I've said here before, we could be Italian.
Yes, it's real. Yeah. And the most extreme ones at that. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about a lot on this podcast, how we believe our emotions are a beautiful, amazing thing that God's given us. They're meant to be indicators as far as our emotions are meant to tell us when something's off, or maybe not even off, something's exciting. They're an indicator. So they're an amazing gift. But what happens when our emotions don't line up with our core beliefs? Something I've heard somebody say on a podcast was, how do we let our emotions have a seat at the table without sitting at the head? How can we follow our emotions? How can we let our emotions be an indicator without acting out on them? I think of the example I tell my kids a lot of, if you get slapped in the face, your initial response is to feel taken aback. Your initial response is to feel pain, is to feel the sting of it. Nobody's faulting you for that. You're feeling the immediate response of, ow, that really hurts. But now what? Now what do we do with those emotions?
Yes, I think about emotions as we so quickly, there's not much of a gap sometimes between an emotion and maybe something that comes out of our mouth. But in terms of when we're with other people, particularly, I think that's where we have to sort of give some thought about how we can kind of, with that slap in the face, metaphorically, I think what can come out of our mouth then, if it's a hard enough slap, is going to be very reactionary. There's almost that sort of instant insanity moment.
Right.
I think these are the things we really want to pay attention to, because when we're having these negative emotions that are very much connected to negative thoughts, ruminating, we're hurting ourselves mostly, it would seem. But I think we really need to be careful when we act on those negative emotions with our children or our most intimate people, because then we are very prone to say something that can be very hurtful, even if it's just apathetic. There's no point in this anymore. I'm done with this. We can say so many things based out of any kind of negative emotion. And so I think there's two places with these emotions. One is within our own self that I guess you could say could be a little more safe because you're just damaging yourself. But we want to realize how often are we letting an emotion sort of take over in a moment and we're either withdrawing or saying something really negative. They really do have consequences. So I think there's that outward part of our emotions and how do we deal with those? How much of a priority is it? Just James talks about a horse needs a bit and a bridle, and that's how our tongue is. We can just go crazy with the things we say in all kinds of ways that are really coming from an emotional perspective at that moment. We can all get caught up in those debates and all kinds of things. We've talked about that too. Take notice of that. If you find yourself feeling like there isn't really a lot of control from those emotions you're feeling and how quickly you can react in a situation on any way. I mean, again, there's so many ways. You can just be outright mean, or you're being passive aggressive and saying sarcastic things, or you're just speaking to maybe someone that you're with. You just constantly sort of pouring out all about you and your depression and your darkness. You are maybe voicing in a way that I think sometimes we have to say, do you have capacity for this today? I want to talk to you about something hard. Just checking in with ourselves and checking in with God, that I'm asking you to kind of be Lord of my mouth, what I say, what I speak over myself and over others. That's just one component of our emotions and why they matter.
Right. Because like we've talked about so much on this podcast, as far as emotions being so important. I think of them like a check engine light in the car. We're teaching our kids to drive. When any little light comes on, they're like, what's going on? What's going on? Is a car going to break down? Should I stop? My daughter will call me and she's like, a light came on. And I'm like, stopped on the side of the road. I'm like, you're fine. Keep driving. It's just a check engine light. It could be anything. It could be the tire's low. It could be we need a new oil change, but it is an indicator. It's something yes. that we need to pause and we need to acknowledge it and we need to refer back to it. When we have any emotion, even if it's joyful, let's acknowledge that emotion. Whoa, what's going on here?
Yes.
It's something that needs to be acknowledged, but it doesn't mean we stop the car on the side of the road and live our whole life out of that indicator. I think that's something that we're saying. That's why I want to make that clear distinction. We don't just feel emotion and say, okay, I don't have the luxury to feel this, so I'm just not going to acknowledge it. We're saying, no, acknowledge it, but don't just stop everything, pull on the side of the road and be like, okay, well, I'm paralyzed now. I can't do anything. And I can't move because this emotion now has full control over me.
Yes. And I think we're all kind of on this hot tin roof of being on hyper alert. We've been talking in a group of friends recently about hypervigilance. Like, what gets us to the place where I think we're being so saturated that we are always on alert, so to speak. And I think it's because of staying in some of the negative things just a little bit too long, or blocking them out just a little too long, and all those different things. We all would be surprised that if we just got into the habit of, again, this goes back to our baby steps, but if we truly would just acknowledge that feeling at that moment, whether it's just internal or whether the other person is talking and we can feel our blood pressure rising, our sadness rising, we're about to cry for whatever they're saying to us. Maybe they're saying something to us to correct us, but whatever that is on the scale, inside your head, you can literally pause and say, Jesus, are you there? I think I'm feeling. You could just name it. Jesus, help me with my despair. Jesus, I'm about to lose it. Help me breathe. Help me breathe. And we can just cry out to him in moments. Obviously, it feels a little more difficult when you're in a conversation or in a situation.
Right.
But arguments can go on a long time. You can pause in that argument. You can pause in that despair and just pivot to the Lord to help you in that moment. And even if I can't stay there, I only have a second to cry out. But I do believe that in studies, just seconds can reset your blood pressure, either make it rise or have it go down. It isn't as big sometimes as we want to give it all the voice, but just we know that 5 minutes from now, we may feel very differently, let alone 5 hours from now. It won't look like it does right now. A lot of this has to do with our body is regulated by our nervous system. And so these are very bodily, physical things that we can tap into that can help us more regulate some of those either undulating emotions. Undulating means up and down, or the intense ones. And the intense ones are usually coming from some sort of trigger, pausing. If you do it more often, it really accumulates. These little pauses along the way, they can sort of strengthen us and have us have a set of skills that we can fall back into, or onto, I should say. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So how do we do that? How do I do that when I don't want to be frustrated or irritated with my spouse or my children, but I just do? And you can't change that initial knee-jerk reaction of feeling, but then what do we do with it? I think of it too, like a fire that starts. All of a sudden the fire starts. And sometimes I'm like, I don't even know how this fire started. But in this moment, all I can do is manage this fire, or it's going to get out of control. So yes, this absolutely needs to be looked at. I need to know how this fire got started so I can keep it from happening again. But when we're in the moment of that emotion, I feel like the greatest thing we can do is keep it from becoming this wildfire within us and consuming our thoughts. And so as I was thinking on that, I'm like, okay, we don't want this fire to consume us. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, so we have to extinguish the fire. Mm-hmm. And immediately I thought of Ephesians 6:16 that says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, so what you're saying is through faith. I was like really looking through all this. I'm like, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, faith is believing in things that we can't see, hoping and acknowledging. Even when I'm feeling these emotions, I'm feeling it, but I'm speaking out, but this is what's true. This is what's true.
Yes.
I'm feeling this. It feels like it's so real and it's consuming me, but I'm standing on what's true. I'm not going to let it consume all of me. I'm going to see it. I'm going to acknowledge it, but I'm not going to let it get the final word.
So much is done outside of the moment in front of us regarding our emotions and how we respond either internally against ourselves, negative talk, or whether we're prone to use negative talk to people around us, or to be drawn in by triggers in all those spaces. The more time we acknowledge these emotions when we're in a good space, the more that we're acknowledging how important it is that I do remember what is true. Well, how am I going to remember certain things that are true that will be helpful to me to catapult across this situation that's right in front of me? Is if I'm being saturated in all the truths of what's true.
Right.
About God, about who he says I am, about so many things that I value. I have value statements written down. Like, this is who I am that God says. This is who I want to grow in. This is what I really do think I have come to have a value about. So therefore, when I'm in with someone, and if in any way I feel like they're being unkind to me in any way that is triggering me, I know that I can just say, Pamela, just take a breath and listen for a minute. Just listen. And by me not looking at myself or feeling that negative emotion, I can turn and then now have the capacity to just listen to them. What are they really saying? What do you think they're feeling right now to be that hostile? And I can have compassion. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Remember, all of us are being saturated with a lot of anti-beautiful thoughts and ideas all the time. And for those of us who, let's say, we're followers of Christ, we definitely have a lot of tools that can help us think on those things that are lovely, beautiful, true, and right, and good. If we're saturating ourselves in things that are negative, I tell you for sure, they will impact your emotions, your psyche. If you lean towards one side or the other in the negative emotions, none of these negative things or fearful things or anything that you're eating and drinking, so to speak, and saturating yourself in, they will show up in your conversations. Not necessarily the topic, but those emotions that are right on edge.
Yeah.
Because our bodies are just staying on hyper alert today. It's not like a coincidence that we're struggling with negative emotions when we're with other people because we're saturating ourselves with it in one way or another that you're not even necessarily recognizing, based on what you're watching, what you're listening to, what you're reading. We need to get to the source, not so that we're trying to find fault,
yeah,
but more so that we can see maybe this isn't the most healthiest streams that I'm submerging in. They all have an impact in these negative emotions.
Absolutely. I think you're definitely hitting the nail on the head. But something that you're saying is that it's everything before that we're doing that leads us to the moment of emotion. We don't run and start a marathon or be like, okay, I'm going to start a marathon this morning when we've never trained or practiced. We're saying these are all great thoughts, but if we're not building those things inside of us, if we're not choosing on a daily basis to think on what is good and lovely and pure, if we're not training our hearts within the Lord to say, God, give me grace to speak life in this moment and to have self-control in this moment, if we're not doing those things in other moments, in the height of emotion, we're going to do our default. We're going to do what's already wired and what's already ingrained within us. These things can't, it's the flip of a switch. It's just not going to happen. I mean, maybe supernaturally it could, absolutely, but it's going to be the things that we've been doing, that we've been spending our time doing. That's what's going to come out, especially when we're at the height of these emotions.
I think this idea, I know it all sounds to sound the same, but what we're really talking about too is tapping into that word we've used before is resiliency. Resiliency comes from doing something over and over, but you're doing it in such a way that you're getting through hard things and coming out on the other side. It's any kind of difficulty, any kind of difficulty. My husband doing the renovation at the other house at the beginning was so frustrated, just so frustrated. I think he could yell at the house, throw a piece of wood.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Exactly. Yelling at that's totally normal.
Yes. Yes. What's wrong with you, house? Yes.
And I think the idea is that resiliency comes from us pushing through and getting to the other side with some sort of better outcome than we entered it.
Right.
The idea is that some of those things are broader that you're working on in the bigger picture. People who are resilient, they have some of these things that they're better at accepting change. Many of us aren't. When things pivot, it can trigger you. And then they also kind of good at accepting what they can't change. We've talked about these too. If we're holding on to expectations,
yeah.
Let's say, I've said this before, if your husband walks in with dirty shoes and he's done it for 20 years and doesn't go the other door, I mean, there's certain things that you have to decide, what hell am I going to die on? With ongoing irritating conflicts, if they're not like jumping out at you,
right?
Then, you know, you can come up with a new strategy for your own heart. And I think resiliency also includes taking action. You can actually do something different. I say it's always easier when we have these kind of ethereal conversations. Start with something that's relatable as we're talking about this today.
Yeah.
Something that you know, if you run into your mother-in-law by accident and you're just going to be like a deer in the headlights.
Right, right.
You're going to be like, I got nothing to say to her. I can't say anything right. Because I'm going to say something maybe I shouldn't, or I'm going to look apathetic, or I'm going to look judgy. Oh God, because I am judging her. Please help me to see her as you see her. So the idea is you can practice these things in the presence of the Lord in terms of these very baseline things. I need to accept that maybe he's going to always do that. I need to accept that maybe this is the wiring in this child of mine. We can start to accept something so that we don't expect something different and are constantly disappointed and irritated.
Right. Yeah.
If you find that yourself, you are the one who's getting triggered with friends over a particular subject, man, face it. Take it to the Lord and say, this emotion, it always comes. Because there's a belief system. There's something that you've agreed with that you think you're right. And because you're right, you're entitled to fight. But rightness does not entitle you to fight.
Right.
You can just begin to think about and connect these dots when you're outside of the conflict, because when you're inside of it, your nervous system takes over and your reaction is a split second. We want to be building these things outside and even our negative emotions. We're talking a lot today in context of other people, but I would say what your own negative talk to yourself is going to be almost as important as how you're treating others.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like that is directly correlated to how we are treating others, and everything around us is the narrative and the talk that we're having within our own heads.
Yes. Both get equal play in terms of time spent. One, you're spending more time on what is true, things that are inspiring. But in terms of self-talk, the best place that we can get that is from our Creator. Who does he say you are? Who does he say I am? How does he say he feels about you? What does he say that he's doing on your behalf every minute of every day? There's so many of them in the Word of God. If you begin to believe them, and belief is a funny thing in terms of changing habits, but just believing something, the more you would say that, speak that to yourself, think on that thing about yourself. Again, I'm going to change the just one little spin here at the end, because we were really talking about relationships within our emotions, but just to say that you are so valuable to your Creator and he wants you to agree with him about what he says and who he says that you are. I think this is part of why we go to him, because we're really weak and we're broken and our cisterns are broken and the water's falling out. We need something that's completely outside of our systems. John Eldridge says, in either in his book or the Pause app that we talked about, is that basically God is the only place of resiliency, because he has that and he imparts it to us versus us trying to build it for ourselves. It doesn't even exist in a broken cistern.
Right.
But he gives us all these pathways that he can strengthen us and fill in the gaps in all those broken places.
Yeah. And we totally acknowledge that this is not a topic that you can just be like, oh yeah, awesome. So when I'm feeling this emotion today, I'm just going to think on something true and all of a sudden the emotion will be gone. We are saying that it is not that easy, but it is a process. It is a continual sanctification. It's using these muscles, these spiritual muscles, these mental, emotionally intelligent muscles to grow and to build this resiliency within us so that when we're in these moments of feeling, back to the feelings aren't the bad things. When something happens and you feel sad, you feel angry, you feel upset, those aren't the things we're talking about. It's the, and then what? And then what are we going to do with those feelings and emotions? I think that something that you can do this week is just notice what you're feeling in the midst of a conversation. When you're like, whoa, I feel really irritated with this person. What's going on? I think of when we went to SeaWorld and they're like, don't sit in the splash zone. And I feel like we can be around anybody in our life. And it's, whoa, okay, they're just angry at the world or super annoyed at everybody. And I'm in the splash zone. They're just like vomiting all of their anger and annoyance. And I'm just in their path. And so we can acknowledge that within ourselves. Whoa, what am I doing? I felt angry or upset about this one thing. And now all of a sudden I'm just letting it control my day. And I'm just vomiting over anyone that comes in my path. I'm just letting the fire just consume me and just letting it burn anybody that's around me. So begin to acknowledge that within ourselves and say, whoa, 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 let me take a step back. Let me pause and say, okay, there is an emotion here and I need to acknowledge that. But this person or this thing may or may not have anything to do with it, but I am the one in control of my own emotions, nobody else. And I can't call anyone else into account for my actions. I'm the only one that can control those. So yeah, just to encourage you, these things, this emotional resiliency that we talk about on this podcast, I think is so encouraging when we begin to really walk in the fullness of this.
And I have to tell you one statistic that I read this week is that we are having as human beings about 50, guess how many? 50,000 thoughts a day. I said, that's impossible, but apparently it's true. And so we're just going to take it as fact for the fun of it right now, 50,000. And guess what? Almost all of them are negative. 5% are not. 95% are negative. Hey, how about we all try and do this week? Let's make it 94%.
Right.
Let's just go for 1% more this week. 1% more yeah. This week. And let's be intentional about thinking on whatever is beautiful, lovely, and good. I guarantee you that it will make a difference. Thanks for joining us.